It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. The 2016 presidential campaign has been droning on for about a year, which means that by now you've heard more speeches than you can stomach. And if you have concluded that you're being talked down to by candidates whose words were more likely to have come from a grade school laboratory than the Algonquin Roundtable, you're not imagining things. We've heard plenty of juvenile taunting among the candidates, particularly during the Republican presidential debates, for example. But what about the stump speeches we have been hearing? A readability analysis of presidential candidate speeches by researchers at Carnegie Mellon University's Language Technologies Institute finds most candidates using words and grammar typical of students in grades 6 through 8, though Donald Trump tends to lag behind the others. I'm joined now in studio by Maxine Eskenazi, LTI Principal Systems Scientist, who performed the analysis along with Elliot Schumacher, a graduate student in Language Technologies. Maxine Eskenazi, Elliot Schumacher, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Yeah, thank you for having us here.
You can join the conversation with a comment or question at 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. We'd like to hear from you if you've had to cover your kids' ears while listening to the radio and hearing what the candidates have had to say. If there's something that's been off-putting or something that you've found particularly eloquent among the candidates. 412-246-2002, the number to call. Email ESSPGH, that's ESSPGH at WESA.FM, and on Twitter at ESSPGH. Maxine Eskenazi, Elliot Schumacher, what led you to embark on this study? Why torture yourselves like that? Why embark on this endeavor?
Well, we have a measure that's used for kids. It's used to help teachers find documents that are at the correct reading level for their students. Not too hard, not too easy, a little bit challenging. And I've always been curious as to what else the measure could be used for. And so after seeing many things on social media comparing the candidates in different ways, I thought that this might contribute another analysis.
And Elliot, what's it been like for you? Is this part of some thesis you're doing, or...?
No, this is just part of our ongoing research, just looking for different ways we can use technologies we have available at the LTI. So, yeah.
But did you say to yourself, oh, yeah, Maxine, I really want to do this. This is something that I think will be just absolutely fascinating and a great use of my time.
I did. She emailed me one morning and said, let's try this. And I said, that sounds really interesting. Let's see what happens.
Okay. Well, here's what's happened. We've broken this down, and you've basically assigned an equivalent grade level to the level at which the candidates are communicating, particularly, we're focusing, I think, mainly for our purposes today on how they're sounding, how they're coming off in their speeches. But if you want to work in some of the analysis of the text of their speeches, feel free to do so. First of all, can we conclude from the research that you've done that the candidates are speaking down to the populace?
It was hard to get transcripts of exactly what the candidates said.
And why was that?
It's easy to get YouTube, but people don't always take the time to write down the transcripts. Mm-hmm. It's a noisy place, so it's hard to get, there are Google transcripts of YouTube that we could have used, but they have errors in them, and we wanted something that wasn't errorful. So we have very few to start with, and it's difficult to find a trend when you don't have this many. We're continuing to follow, and we've updated it now with more speeches in the past week. But we wanted people to decide what they think just seeing this, and it could be useful to the speechwriters, the candidates' speechwriters. It could be useful to the candidates to see exactly what they're doing.
So that's not something you're particularly looking at here, then? Whether the candidates are talking down to the populace
or not. No, we don't have the background to decide that.
Okay. So then how would you describe the grammar of the candidates? Elliot?
Well, we base our looking at what their grammar are based on documents that we have that kind of we feel encapsulates what a general first grader, second grader, third grader would be able to understand at that point. And so what our study would show was that the grammar that is used in the speech of various candidates could easily be understood at a specific grade level. And so I think...
How do you measure that?
So we have a collection of documents that mm-hmm. was started being collected about 10 years ago. And it's based... It consists of documents that teachers have created for targeted grade levels, like a first grade teacher feels like would be able to be read by a first grader, but also state tests. Pennsylvania Department of Education puts out tests yearly. And so those could be indicative of grade level. And we use that for a basis. And then within those, we look for trends. So, for example, the word determine is indicative usually of a high school reading level as opposed to like an elementary reading level. And so that's how we base our grade level analysis.
This brings to mind a scene from the Marx Brothers movie Duck Soup where somebody hands a report to Groucho and he says, I understand this. This is so easy to understand. A third grader could understand it. Somebody go out and find me a third grader. So did you, I mean, are there, I guess there are, you're sitting there with a whole sheet of charts and graphs mm-hmm. in front of you. So I guess there've already been studies done measuring, you know, what the words that different grade levels would recognize, correct?
Well, the readability measure we're using is the first automatic readability measure that was created by colleagues of mine, and my students worked on it to get the grammar part of it. Before that, there was something that was used by the Boston Globe, for example, called Flesch Kincaid, and that measures the length of sentences and the length of words, and that's very good for a document that's written that somebody wants to read, but speech is very different. Speeches, sentences are shorter, they're not constructed in the same way, the choice of words is different. You've got a book and it doesn't care who's reading it, it's always the same, but speeches can be different depending on who's listening to them. And so the readability measure we used, although it's trained on documents, it seems like it's better for speech. And we hope that we'd be able to train it on speech in the future. The problem is, who's going to annotate all those candidates' speeches with what level they were at?
Yeah, that's a good question. Obviously, it's not going to be you guys.
No.
Maxine says, no way. Well, all right, let's look at some examples here. And Donald Trump, apparently, according to you, scored at just around a sixth grade level. Now, how could we come to such a conclusion? Well, we have an example, some snippets that we've compiled, and let's listen.
Free trade can be wonderful if you have smart people, but we have people that are stupid. They have bridges that make the George Washington Bridge look like small potatoes. I don't need anybody's money. It's nice. I'm really rich. We're dying. We need money. But Mr. Trump, you're not a nice person. That's true. But actually, I am. I think I am a nice person. We have losers. We have losers. I would build a great wall, and nobody builds walls better than me, believe me.
Okay, again, those are snippets, and some people may feel we've taken that out of context, and I guess in a way we have, but that's what we have. Those are some examples of things that Donald Trump has said on the stump that folks would recognize. So having listened to that compilation there, is Donald Trump's rating lower because he tends to speak off the cuff? For example, we heard a woman in the audience, say, we don't need nice. And he responded to that. He's sort of, very much in the moment.
Well, he's saying very short sentences. It's very simple grammar. The words are very simple. And if we look at how much his level changes from one speech to another, we see that it changes a lot. So he's adapting to the people he's talking to, at least on the grammatical level. Mm-hmm. Hillary is adapting to people on the lexical level. And some people don't adapt at all when they just keep speaking to the level that they believe they should be speaking to. Mm-hmm. So Trump is actually looking to, you know, change the way he's speaking according to the people he's speaking to.
Right, and we'll get to Hillary here in a moment. But let's Well, we had somebody on the phone, Karen in Pittsburgh, at 412-246-2002. She could not stay on the line, but she did have a question that she wanted us to pass along to you, Maxine, and Elliot. And that is, historically, she asks, what level did candidates talk at in the past? And that's her, I'm quoting her again. She says, historically, what level did candidates talk at in the past? Of course, we might phrase that differently. But anyway, Maxine?
Well, we don't have recordings too fairly far back, but we looked at Lincoln's Gettysburg Address, and he was coming in at ninth grade for lexical level and practically 11th grade for his grammar, and that was a very short address. And the past presidents, Reagan, Bush, Obama, Clinton, have all come in at fairly high, well above eighth grade level. And the only exception was George W. Bush, who came in at about fifth grade level for grammar.
Okay.
So it is varied. We could go to the past, and if we could find transcripts, we could try to answer that question.
Well, I would think there would be plenty for, you know, going back probably way, way back. And by the way, my apologies to Karen. That was not the way she phrased that. That's the way it showed up on the screen. So my bad, and that's probably bad grammar too. But I'm not the president, and I'm not running for president. Who sets the benchmark among presidents?
Lincoln certainly seems to be very high with his Gettysburg Address. Of the candidates, or at least, excuse me, the presidents we analyzed, he scored very high at a high level.
So Lincoln's at the high level. Right now, we had Donald Trump at the sixth grade level, but apparently he's not the low bar. It might go to George W. Bush. Apparently he scored at fifth grade level for grammar. For George W. Bush.
Yes.
Yes. And that was just one specific speech. Unlike the other candidates we analyzed, for the previous presidents, we've only done one each. So it's just one data point.
It's Central Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer, and we are talking about an analysis done by Carnegie Mellon University of the speeches of presidential candidates, their level of speech. And this comes from the LTI at the Carnegie Mellon University, which is a laboratory study, Language Technologies Institute study, of the president's, the candidates' speaking habits on the trail. And our guests from CMU are Maxine Eskenazi. She's the LTI principal system scientist who performed the analysis along with Elliot Schumacher, a graduate student in language technologies. 412-246-2002 if you want to join the conversation with a comment or a question. That's 412-246-2002. Email esspgh@wesa.fm. And on Twitter at ESSPGH, Josh in an email says, I would be curious to know which candidates in recent years speak at a late high school to college level. So these would be recent candidates. He goes on to say, I have always greatly enjoyed listening to candidates like Rand Paul that seem to speak much more intelligently than others. Where does someone like Senator Paul fall on the spectrum? We
haven't done that analysis, but we could. It would be very interesting to do.
Okay, well, Josh, if we can get something on that for you, we'll figure out a way to get back to you. Maybe there's a return address or a phone number that we can contact you at. Did the candidates generally, do you have a general sense that candidates in the past spoke better than the candidates we have on the trail now, presidential candidates?
I would say that the candidates spoke to their audience, and they're constantly looking at being well understood by the audience. And so better is kind of a strange term here. I think better would mean, did they get their point across to their audience well? And so the ones who were elected apparently did.
Sometimes candidates are accused of changing it up depending on who is listening, or even Hillary Clinton, for example, has been accused of adopting a slight Southern accent, depending on which part of the country she's speaking in. Have you noticed that something you measure, the how candidates adjust to whom they're speaking in front of? I'm so watching my grammar now.
We've tried to gather as much as we can. We don't have enough to say that. It will be interesting. We're continuing to gather data going forward to see when the candidates speak in front of the same audience, how the different candidates view that audience and what level they speak at to the audience, too.
Now, speaking of Hillary Clinton, the likely Democratic nominee at this point, she didn't score a whole lot better than Donald Trump. You have her speaking at an eighth grade level. Let's listen to Hillary Clinton.
So, you have to wonder, when does my hard work pay off? When does my family get ahead? When? I say now. Prosperity can't be just for CEOs and hedge fund managers. Democracy can't be just for billionaires and corporations. Prosperity and democracy are part of your basic bargain, too. You brought our country back. Now it's time, your time, to secure the gains and move ahead. And you know what? America can't succeed unless you succeed.
Okay, that's Hillary Clinton, obviously. And unlike Donald Trump, just to be fair and in the interest of full disclosure, that's from one speech. We did not cut that up the way we did with the different Donald Trump comments. That having been said, why is Hillary Clinton at an eighth grade level?
With some of the structures, she has dependent clauses like America can't succeed unless you succeed. Where a lower level might be, America can't succeed alone. You must succeed as well, or something like that. It would divide it into separate sentences and be direct clauses. Mm-hmm. That's one example. It could be some of the words she chooses, although for the most part, the words that she chooses can be found at many different levels.
Let's take a call from Joe in Hopewell. Hi, Joe. You're on the air with Maxine Eskenazi and Elliot Schumacher.
Wonderful show, wonderful study. However, I worked for Standard Oil Company back in the 70s, and they asked me for all my thesis papers after they hired me, and I didn't know why. Then they read them, and then they says, well, we're going to put you in a newspaper course so you can talk on the third grade level and write on the third grade level. And I says, why am I doing that? And they go, well, we want you to talk to customers and people. And I think candidates would be doing the same thing. So my question is, there was a guy called Brian Gardner. He wrote a book. Also, Scalia put him in charge of the Supreme Court to make them reduce their educational levels in their opinion so people could understand them better. And we had an engineer actually fired at Standard Oil because he wrote this big little note once that says, please pull all the unwanted vegetation around the periphery of the building. And they basically tore up everything and put in new trees and everything, and they asked, well, why did you do that? He goes, I just meant to pull the weeds, so they fired him. So my question is, I'd like to see a study done on the tone, because Hillary's got a shrill about her, and Trump's got an angriness about him. But on top of it, isn't it important that these candidates do talk on a level of the people, which is third to sixth grade, and simple is his best?
Well, what do you think, folks? Thanks, Joe.
Well, we could talk about tone. It's very difficult when a woman is a candidate for her not to be accused, if she uses a higher tone, of being shrill. And so I think we have to be careful about the words that we use to describe the candidates. But these are studies, these are acoustic studies that could be done to say how high their voices are, for example, or how slowly they speak. When people speak slowly, they're making a bigger effort to be understood.
We have Linda, who could not stay on the line, who says most of the public speaks at an eighth grade level. Wouldn't it be strategic to speak to their audiences at this level? Elliot?
I think I am of the opinion that these candidates are professional politicians, and at some point maybe we assume that they have a strategy behind the speeches. And we're certainly not saying, well, I would say, I would imagine that campaigns have a calculated position behind what they want their candidates to be speaking.
No way.
I do. And so to say, well, Trump, you know, should maybe move civil up, perhaps his campaign doesn't think that would be appropriate.
So you're saying that Donald Trump may be chafing against the advice to speak better, but that he is doing what that these candidates in all likelihood are, if they're speaking at a lower grade level, it's because that's what they're being advised to do?
Potentially. I mean, that could be a potential for why Sanders is targeting the grade level he is. Yeah, that's one potential. Actually.
Speaking of Bernie Sanders, he rates the highest at the highest grade level, 10th to 11th grade, which is what you rated the Gettysburg Address at. So apparently Bernie Sanders is speaking quite well.
10th to 11th grade was for grammar for the Gettysburg Address, and Sanders there is at a 7th grade level. In lexicon, he definitely has a lexicon of well into 10th grade, and the Gettysburg Address is at 9th grade there. So he's above the Gettysburg Address.
Well, that I think Bernie would be happy to know that. Let's listen to a little of what Bernie has, an example of how he conducts himself on the stump.
Further, we must establish pay equity for women workers. It is unconscionable that women earn 78 cents on the dollar compared to men who perform the same work.
So is that a good example of what sets Sanders apart?
It's a really good example. Establish equity, unconscionable. Boy, we're in 11th or 12th grade there.
Yeah, unconscionable definitely. Really stood out to me there. That seems like a, yeah, very high-level word.
So where do we go from here with this? Will you be passing? What will you do with this information? Who will you possibly be passing it along to?
Right now, we've published it in archive.org. It should go on today, as a matter of fact. And we're going to continue to track. One thing we'd like to see is if the level of the candidates goes down over time, influenced by the success that Trump is having.
Interesting. Well, so if people want to go online, they can find this. Mm-hmm. Where do they go?
www.reap.cs.cmu.edu, and you'll find a link there.
Okay, and we'll I think put a link to it on our website. We will, in fact, at our website wesa.fm. Fascinating. Thank you so much for being with us, Maxine Eskenazi, LTI Principal Systems Scientist, who performed the analysis of the speeches, of the lexicon of the presidential candidates, along with Elliot Schumacher, a graduate student in language technologies. Thank you both for being with us on Essential Pittsburgh. We really appreciate it.
Thanks for having us on.
And coming up, we'll examine one of the newest trends of 2016, the rise of the premium single as a consumer. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.